In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is our midst. Brethren in Christ, being the day of resurrection, Sunday is always a joyful feast in which we do not fast. Today, however, is different. We are asked to abstain from meat and dairy products, holding a strict fast. Why should we have a contrite heart in the day of resurrection? The reason is the feast of the beheading of John the Baptist. John the Baptist advised, he wrote, not to take to himself the wife of his brother Philip. He wrote, insisted, and made Herodias his own wife after divorcing his former lawful wife, the daughter of Aretas, king of Petra, and separating Herodias from her husband while he was still alive. For this reason, John was imprisoned by challenging the degenerate moral behavior of the royal family. Virtue, brethren in Christ, is undesirable to those who are immoral. Holiness is abhorrent to impure. Chastity is an enemy to all those who are filthy. Integrity is a hardship to those who are corrupt. Mercy is intolerable to those who are cruel, and is loving kindness to those who are pitiless, and justice to those who are unjust. He who admonishes those who are evil is going to be persecuted. He who repudiates wrongdoers runs into trouble. And John was imprisoned because was saying what was proper for salvation and what was proper not of hatred but of love. Herod indicated that he's going to kill John. He hesitated for fear, because all the people considered him to be a prophet. While fear is able to restrain the power of sin, it is unable to remove the will of sin. Fear restrains the criminal from crime for a while, but makes all the more eager to return to crime. It is only the fear of God that can set minds straight, repel criminal actions, preserve innocence, and give steadfast power. The time of committing the crime came on Herod's birthday, that is, in the middle of the banquet, when a larger gathering than usual came to gather, the daughter of the queen sent forth from within the private apartments her daughter to dance in the sight of the king. As the girl dances, the mother advises her to ask for the head of John the Baptist. So this request, symbolizing that the law, the glory of the law is going to be slaughtered. So the princess danced, and after the dance, committed another serious sin. She pleased him as to obtain even murder for his compensation. Herod puts himself under the obligation of an oath, while to Herodia he gives full power over the request. So she persuaded this senseless man to promise with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Do you see how easily swearing makes one foolish? This is a rash swearing in the midst of this feast, and in an impious fulfillment of what was sworn. A banquet of death is set out with this royal luxury, and the devil has put his trap, making it strong, and from the moment of an oath, everything was completed. By our words, we sometimes put ourselves under moral necessity, and Satan snares us through our words spoken. Such misjudgment continue to plague those who become captives of their own passions and appetites. Sensual pleasure may give birth to great cruelty. Herodia spreads out her limbs with twists and turns. She grows, though, in ferocity. She becomes cunning in cruelty. As wild beast, she gnashes her teeth. And at the end, the head of the prophet was brought unto a platter. The house is converted into a crime scene, and the birthday guests turned into witnesses of that crime. The feast grows into a misdeed. The food ripens into bloodshed, and the wine transforms into blood. The birthday changes into a funeral. The banquet is altered into a bloody killing, and the musical instruments perform a tragedy. Imagine the streams of the holy blood pouring down Herod's fingers. Nothing is lacking in this cruelty. The hunger for such unheard of cruelty could not be satisfied by banquets, or the thirst by cups. When Herod saw the evil actually ensuing, he was sorry. But now he was bound by this oath, and that's why he became sorry. This does not indicate genuine repentance on the part of the king, but a confession of his guilt. Those who do evil condemn themselves by their own confession. Herod himself fell victim, so he either had to break his oath or to avoid breaking his oath to commit another shameful act. It was shameful in the first place for a king to be promised, to give a promise for such a dance. And it was cruel in the second place for a great prophet to be sacrificed for the sake of an oath. She convinced him, and she was able to cut the head of John and to bridle John's holy tongue. But until today, this tongue is still speaking. He cut off the head, but he did not cut off his voice. He curbed his tongue, but he didn't curb the accusation. Do you see what swearing leads to? It cuts off the heads of the prophets. Note well the weakness of the tyrant compared to one who is in the prison. Herod was strong enough to silence his own tongue, the tongue of a prophet. But the others are going to use this tongue to preach the same message. He opened countless of other tongues to speak up. Even to the ends of the earth, you will hear his voice, and you see the righteous men even now still crying out, and his voice is resounding loudly, reproving the evil of the tyrant. He will be never silenced, nor the reproof of all weakened by the passing of time. Herod's love for the woman prevailed. She forced him to lay his hands upon a man whom he knew to be holy and just. And as a result of this cruelty, he caused the shedding of the blood of a prophet he knew he was pleasing to God. His head is presented to Herodias. She rejoices, exults, as though she has escaped from a crime because she has slain her judge. Brethren in Christ, John was righteous in the eyes of the Lord because he was a truth teller. And then through his martyrdom, which resulted directly from his attesting to the truth. All of us have a duty of admonition to our fellow human beings when circumstances require it, since you have the right to the judgment of God. Do not shrink from the duty of chastising a brother, even though one might require to die for it. There is also a necessity for us to break an oath rather than turn to another more serious crime in order to break, to avoid breaking our oath. What occurred this morning is not a death, but a crown. Not an end of a life, but the beginning of a greater life. Even today, in every church, you can hear John still crying aloud through the Gospels and saying, "It is not lawful for you to have the wife of your brother Philip." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.